You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This is one of my favorite songs, and I'm sure many other people's favorite songs as well. Today I'm hosting Sulaylo Silota on the Hanging Out feature. An award-winning jazz musician, celebrated guitarist. He understands jazz more than many people, and he's just an incredible, prolific artist. And I thank you so much for coming into studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So much. Thank you.
You were dancing along. So some of these songs still get you to, like, do you sometimes listen to your songs and think, yes, I killed it there?
Yo,
that was a hit.
It just sounds so fresh, you know. It just took me there. And I suddenly imagined myself. I just saw myself on stage.
This is what you once said about your music, and I quote, "My music sounds like home. My culture is beautiful, and when it meets music, something magical happens. It is a gift that comes with embracing your root. You enter a space whereby it is beyond self. The music takes over, and when the mind automatically understands it, it gives off a very rare experience." This is what you say about your music, and when I saw this, I was like, damn, he's so right, because it actually does sound like home, because home is a place of loving, is a place of understanding, is a place of belonging, and that's how I personally feel when I listen to your music.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And too, it's shocking how sometimes I'm reminded of what I said in the past. Yeah, but it does do that, and even though I would have written a song for a certain expression, I find it in within the song. I also find an element that actually gives me hope about the now. Like now, when we stopped on the chorus, it's to hold onto the hope that all the things that the callers have been bringing to the table this morning. And I just want to use that to say, don't give up, because come rain or come shine, we must still persist in hoping that we will get it right.
Are you a poet? when I look at your lyrics and some of my favorite songs, and like, there's just poetry that I feel is infused there. Or is this what happened when you've gone and studied jazz and you've studied music? Because when you write lyrics, it's more than just the lines, but it's a very well thought out process.
I can tell you, I don't know if I'm a poet. I did think about it a lot, but I did not want to thrust myself into being a poet. And I didn't thrust myself into being a writer or an author, but I did pick it up that I could actually write a, I could sit in 1 week and it is possible to write a book, a whole book. But I didn't want to thrust myself. I wanted to focus on music. I wanted to use music as a way that I can just tell my stories. But I know that there's going to be a time like now that I'm very much urged to write not just one book, but I could even write a children's book.
Yes. Yeah, please write a book. You've got such an incredible story, and we'll talk about your childhood shortly. I want to ask you this question, because I ask almost all of my guests who are really legends, especially artists, because when I looked at the selection of songs you gave us, because we said, okay, what are your favorite songs?
Yes.
Like, you didn't include any of your old songs. And I thought, I wonder why. I had Ringo Madlingozi on the show, and I asked him the same question, and he said, because I'm a creative, and sometimes my fans are so stuck with the old music because they love it so much that even when I'm performing live, but I don't perform Siyagodola, they get angry. Do you have that experience as well, where you perform live and maybe you don't do Mamudieri, and the fans get mad because they're like, yeah, we love the new music, but we also in love with the old music?
I do know what my fans like. And you just triggered something. I actually just realized that since 1997, by the way, I performed Mamudieri for the first time 1997, before I even got my record deal. I performed it on the night before I left for France. I was going to perform in France. Both Terpa and Mahmoud Diak, I performed them on. Yet Terpa got recorded in 2001. So I realized that since that time, up to this day, I've never left them out of my repertoire on stage. But when I choose songs for radio, I would like to choose songs that reflect my view of the world at the moment. Yet I have, because I feel the comfort and the guarantee that in my space when I perform, I will bring those songs to the public.
Isn't that the same issue with Seshuro as well? Me and Abel were listening to Seshuro.
Yes.
You wrote, I mean, you. This was, I think, your first song you've ever composed. Was it the first
Seshuro
one?
Seshuro is the first song that I
but
ever
composed.
But
then you composed. Only recorded it how many years later?
Seshuro was composed on a train when I was going to look for my father.
Yes.
In 1988. And I only recorded it in 1999. October.
So fascinating.
But so also that's another song that I never leave out of my repertoire, because it always settles me on the train to go to journey back home, whereby I'm going to summon all my memories, and my childhood memories, and then take them with me when I start getting into your Mahmoud Diak, your Terpa, and so on.
How did you feel when you couldn't then find your father?
I felt lost. I feel that is that is what a lot of young women and young men are feeling. You feel lost. You feel like you don't know who you are. And music, many would run to other things to make themselves feel better. And some of those things would be detrimental to their lives. When I found music, I found it as something that I could establish an identity for myself. Hence, identity is very important in my music, and telling who I am, where I come from. Yeah. I actually used music to actually create an identity for myself.
How did your childhood help in creating and shaping that identity? I enjoyed reading about how you grew up in a small village of... Is it Sikurue in Limpopo?
Yes.
You used to walk 12 kilometers to school.
Yes.
At some point, the school was 50 kilometers away and you had to get a bicycle.
Yeah, my grandfather donated me his bicycle. Yes.
50 kilometers away?
Yes.
How was that how was that experience for you? And how did it shape the man that you are today?
In terms of walking, in the first 12 kilometer you mentioned, it wasn't that much of a stress, because when I was a shepherd, or when I was herding cattle, we used to, when there's drought, Sikurue is a village that is the one that comes first before a village called Rahari, as you head towards Bochum. But the small lake that would preserve water for longer is on the border of Rahari. So we would walk and head the cattle right there, even if we have to come back while they're grazing slowly in the afternoon to reach home at 6 p.m. So that in itself made us tougher people. And I understand why old people used to walk distances. When it came to my high school, when I had to bike, I was now a teenage boy who was playing soccer, and therefore I understood the development of the muscles. And one of the things that I realized that when I cycle, I developed my muscles. I mean, if people look at my thighs even today, they developed from that time I used to cycle. So that didn't discourage me at all.
Sure, yeah. You know, sometimes, and I always say this to us, the younger generation, is it's a reflection I make as well.
Yes.
Because lately I'm also reading a lot about, you know, books by struggle stalwarts, and I'm appreciating more and more how easy we have things now.
Yes.
And even when I read about your story, I'm appreciating how easy we have things now. It doesn't mean things are like that easy, we don't have challenges, but things were hard at some point, and that's what I'm appreciating. I want to play now a song that you you suggested to us, that you said it's one of your favorite, and you said now it's a reflection of how you see the world today, and you'll tell me why this is particularly one of your favorites. This one, I Will Ask for Freedom, is from the album The Eight Colors of Rainbow. What are your reflections, and what were you trying to reflect through this song? Has love taken over you?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, I'm trying to say we are all now a mishmash of the human race. And it will never change how the genes that we are born with, be it the color of your skin, you know, be it the texture of your hair. But we have now, we know, there's no more, we're not in the dark ages where we don't know what's happening in America, what's happening in Africa.
Mm.
We are now a mishmash of a human race that transverses the whole world. And therefore, if we dream, we are not supposed to be dreaming in color anymore. We're not supposed to be praying in color anymore, because we are in one can, and either one of us can actually destroy the other. So love, I'm creating, because the primary colors of the rainbow are seven. I just wanted to emphasize the eighth color of the rainbow that can actually bring that harmony as love, you know. I'm trying to express it that way. Yeah.
I see. By the way, listeners, Abel, are demanding that I must be live on Instagram. They want to see you. So
yeah,
I am live on Instagram at Clement Magnatella, if you want to see that Desilailo. So I'm going to read some of the messages coming through.
Yeah.
There's one coming from Uratile Matlabe, and it's in Sepedi. So, hey, yes. Sepedi Saka. I must polish it. So this is what it says. Ubutlhokwa ibile re a go tlotla jaaka siopedi le sethakga se a go tshwara sa go tshwana le wena. Re godile re stop laughing, Abel. Re godile re utlwella mmino o monate kwa gae ka ntlha ya gago. Ka jalo re a leboga. That wasn't too bad. So basically, this person appreciating you, that they used to grow up listening to your music, and thank you so much. You've taken the decision to sing a lot about, to sing along in Sepedi, and to infuse your culture, to infuse your language in your music. Tell me why that was important for you.
Because, you know, by so doing, it enables me to, without trying, project the nuances of the language itself, the nuances of the rhythm of punctuation, where I come from. It actually just takes the whole embodiment of my background and makes it part of the music.
That's incredible. And you spoke earlier about even identity, and you can pick it up, Jay, in your music when we play your music. There are some voice notes coming on 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Clement and Ndate Selota. This is Lerato. I just want to say thank you so much for hosting Ndate Selota, and I'm a big fan, especially when he performs live. He's always on another level. You know, I love his music. I love every time he performs. He just brings out the best. And yeah, thank you. Looking forward to hearing from him. Thanks.
Hi, Clement. Good morning. This is Aguma Teobula. Oh, you have a legend there, the guitarist. Yo, he's old, man. He started with my song, Oh Daddy, Sile Molimaria. Yo, I love that song. The special one for me. But I want to ask, man, Clement and the Slide Slaughter, what are you getting from the platform of about Spotify's platform? Because now we use it to get your music and all that. Are you getting something from those platforms? This is Agi Matebula. Good morning.
Yay, Matebula. Thank you so much for your voice note. Look, the best way to empower me and many other musicians out there in the world, download, buy the music and download it. Streaming does not really bring much revenue for the artists.
Oh.
If you buy the music and have it on you, then that is what brings me something. If you stream Mamudieri, for instance, if you stream it 100 times, at the end of the year, I'm not even going to get 2 rands. So just our people out there, those that are listening, I mean, you can imagine how much we would be empowered if you just buy the music. It's there on, you can buy it. You can buy it. So this thing of saying, oh, we've got a hotspot, a Wi-Fi, let's just stream Celilo Saluta. And we love him. That doesn't show love, really. It just shows you, coming to my house when I have less, and then you open the fridge, you eat 90% of the food.
Yeah. Then you leave.
And then you leave.
And you beg tomorrow to finish the rest. I hear you. Someone says, please can you ask him what inspired Lapeng Laka?
Well, what inspired Lapeng Laka? I was at a point where I felt I needed to record an album with all the tracks. I needed to make an album, a vocal album that actually is insipid, but it shouldn't be just, people think that an album, a song should be in your language, just that's, it's enough, but it must be the rhythms, the nuances, the stories and everything plus the language then brings a genuine album that is in your language, because then it encompasses all that. So what inspired Lapeng Laka was that I needed to fully assert and say, this is where I come from. Because I had embraced a new modern South Africa now. I was exposed to being in the mines, exposed to living in Cape Town for 6 years, having learned other languages as well, and having appreciated the fact that we have come together as a nation. Therefore, that, you know, that reflection came first with Painted Faces. Painted Faces was actually an essence of painted faces of cultures, painted faces of languages, of dances that we are now mixing in what they call contemporary dance, if it's a dance, and so on. And that was the reflection of Painted Faces and Enchanted Gardens. But with Lapeng Laka, I wanted to say, this is where I come from.
I can listen to you the whole day. Okay, it's 10:30. We're going to take the latest in eyewitness news headlines. And then when we come back, I want you to tell me about the time when you're a minor. And then you decided, okay, that's it. Now I want to pursue music. So we'll get into that. And then I'll take more of your calls, your WhatsApp voice notes as well. And yes, I am live on Instagram. Stop checking out the bag. Someone says, is that the bag you left the other day? Yes, this is the bag I left out the other day. All right, all of that coming up after the latest in Eyewitness News headline.
Hanging out with Clement on 702. Let's walk the talk.
We're dancing in studio.
Yes.
Where did you get that from?
From my grandfather. There was a vocalization of a vocal rendition of what he used to do when he tell a story. He used to tell a story about when he used to be a bare knuckle fighter, like Malaita, those who in Venda they say Musangwe. They fight bare knuckled, and so he was in his era, and he used to tell a story about when he was in Hamampian, which is Alexander, where they used to go into halls and battle it out, and he used to chant and say, when I hit, they would say, so when I was studying music composition at University of Cape Town, I came up with this musical background, and I felt, how can I accompany it? And when I tried the vocalization that my grandfather used to sing, it became magic.
Wow. No, Rlaboga, Rakholo.
So now it's been from his 50s era or 40s era. Now I brought it to 2022.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to know about the background of that. Okay, so you were a minor at some point.
Yes.
How was that experience for you?
It was very humbling. To tell the honest fact, I actually thought that when I arrived in the mines and they took us to Mzilikazi where they do medical checkup, I thought I had entered a slavery camp. I would never make it back home. For the experience that I went through when they, you know, they do a lot of things. So being in the mines was a moment of, since I was searching for that identity, I felt I would search it much better alone than to be confronting uncles, mothers. But at the same time, the biggest that drove me to the mines was that I needed to make a change in my family's life, in my siblings' life, in my mother's life, in my own life. I needed to make a change because the mere fact that I could not go to tertiary, it meant there was no money to take me to school.
Yeah.
And I struggled to finish my primary school, but I did it in any case. And when I went to secondary school, I had to work for during holidays, I had to work in a farmer's place where we now gather millets during the harvest. And I remember my first pay because it was about 60 cents a day. And then at the end of that period, I earned about 8 rand. But it could buy me a gray flannel trousers to go to Form 1 and a blue shirt, a sky blue shirt that I bought at Pep, and a pair of Taffies, those black shoes that you get.
Got someone on the Instagram live, because when you're live on Instagram, you can read comments there as well. Mabatu says, "Hi, Clement. I'm reminded of the early 90s at UCT.
Yes.
When we used to have the Sunday jazz and Bryce sessions. That man there was and is still a great performer and a musician. Wow. Appreciate him a lot. There was a time when you even, did you work at the Market Theatre?
Yes. When I came back from the mines, I worked at Market Theatre. Market Theatre had a music place which became historic, the Kippies Jazz Club.
Yeah.
Kippies Jazz Club actually was born out of Market Theatre. Market Theatre in itself, inside as a place that's got, you know, inside there's a main theatre, a small theatre, the Bunny Simon Theatre, but there was also the Market Music Place, which was a smaller theatre. But because of the volume, they had to take music out, and they built a structure that is similar to those Victorian toilets that you see that is still standing next to the hotel there. And they built Kippies. So I worked there as a cleaner in a jazz club, and that brought me right face to face with music.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And did you meet any people there? Were there people that played like
I met great musicians. I saw the formation of Bayete. The members of Bayete, I met them then. I saw the formation of Tananas, of Steve Newman and the Gito Baloyes, and Sakiles. I saw great musicians at Kippies, and when I was a cleaner there, and then I told myself, here I can clean tables now, but in future I'll be on that stage.
Wow. Oh, that's just incredible. Here are some of the voice notes that have come through.
Hey, Brad Clement, if you can ask that this Lelo Solota with regards to this song of his Yatrapa, where he cites Tau, which town is he referring to, the one in Northwest or the one in Limpopo? I actually want to settle this debate with old lady, and at least then I know I'll be vindicated.
You know, I went to perform in Taung at the Calabash Festival, and that was in 2000 when I came up with Painted Faces. And I remember that when I was at the peak of the performance, somehow I got closer to the edge of the stage, and the audience, they dragged me by my legs, and I was one of those people that are, you know, on rock shows. Rock shows. I was floating there
in the scary.
Pleading with them nicely to say, no, you can put me down. So I had that experience, and because I saw that much love and welcoming, and that they just wanted to embrace me. Now, when I recorded Enchanted Gardens in 2001.
Yeah.
That's when I now was recording Trpa. And I had to mention that in Taung, get Taung ya ko northwest. Yeah, next to Freiburg.
Now I think it's settled then between this listener and Oleidi. Let's go to Zola in Orlando. Zola, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's my first time caller. I've been a member of 702 for years, and yes, it's over John Beck.
Yeah.
But I am so excited. Yo. You know the Vulpa song? It reminds me of my first day.
Yeah.
Then my husband took me out. It was 702, if you remember, at Orlando West.
Yeah.
He had a gig, it was on a Friday. Oh, we danced, I'm telling you. It was in Western Post. They took us photos. I was there with my husband dancing, getting down. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Your lovely music. We enjoy it so well.
That's amazing,
so
Zola. I'm glad you're enjoying. Thank you, Zola. So, let me play another voice note and then we'll take some more calls.
Nice show, as usual. Nice show. Thanks to Ntate Slaylo Slota. The music, it's awesome. We love him as young generation as well. But Alex, Clement, it's like you were waiting for that part. Yeah. I only had you there. Lovely show. Thank you.
I was singing along of air.
Hi, morning, Clement. Chikupa Otsiba ho from Dates Lelo. Compared to the so-called celebrities of today, all musicians. He's a legend, of course, including the late legends. They were for the people and respected a lot. Until today, they are still respected. But the musicians of today, they are famous, but not so respected. What do you think is the problem? Thank you. It's Pat from Spayview.
Any thoughts on that? Have you picked up the differences as well in just how you appreciate the art itself between the older generation of artists and the new generation?
I think the older generation of musicians, which I still follow, I think we get more feed from the ground, from the people that we come from, right? And we try to voice their messages, because they don't have the podium. We have the podium. We tell their stories in our songwriting and whatever. But I feel in terms of the new generation, there is that one other creative was on another radio platform and expressed that today the music industry, it's a platform where anybody can enter.
Hmm.
And as such, the public is able to sense and feel this disconnection with themselves.
Mm.
And I think where the artist is still connected to the communities, that respect will exist.
Because these days it's almost like if you've got a huge following and there's an opportunity, you've got the resources as well to record an album, to perform. That's what they do. So it's no longer, I have a calling, I'm passionate about this. But it's, I've got 2 million rand. I could use it to record an album. I could use it to perform.
Yes, actually, the artist I'm talking about, the creative, is Lerato Velas, who was being asked, why would she want to retire at 50? And she said, because this space doesn't feel right anymore.
Sure.
It's a space for anybody. Mm. I can leave my truck driving job and release an album, because suddenly I paid 5,000 rands for somebody to populate me on Instagram, and I have 100,000 followers. Selalo has got 2,000 something followers. So what?
Let's take some more calls on 011-883-0702. You spoke about Kippie's Jazz at the time. Do you remember any of the waiters at the time? There was a guy called Silo. And I've got Silo on the line.
No,
now.
But I mean Silo, the only Silo that I know, Silo Magekanube. We worked together but the people I met that time, they even include Mike Mvelase. The people know him as Capella on Generations.
A lot
of people I met that time, and some of them, as I said, Silo worked at Market Theatre as well.
Yeah. Hey, Brasilo, how are you?
All right, and yourself, Clement?
I'm good. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for blessing my day. You are unaleka kapa, more so we say kasetuana.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we grew up, if you know English and if you can do things like English, you are the person. But now, that is a lot that is doing them ka language ya bro, now. And as a young person, I'm super proud to be a South African. And I'm saying thank you for honoring him now, as he's still alive, as opposed to when he's passed on. And Keep it up.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Silo. And here's another Silo that you just mentioned, Silo Makekanube. Hello, Brasilo. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you, Clem?
I'm good. So what, at the time, were you a waiter at Kippie's Jazz? What were you doing when you met him?
You know what? I mean, it was 1988, and I remember, I think, I mean, that time, market never used to close there, I mean, around the festive season.
Yeah.
And I think I just finished doing a play with Peter Deck Ace. And I approached the manager of, who was it, Sly? Hey,
it was Erfan Gillen.
Erfan. So I approached Erfan, I said, hey, Erfan, man, hey, I'm going to be out of work. You know, and basically, I don't want to find myself again. Mutolo or in a secret again. I'm a secret move. Or even when I'm supposed to go to auditions, I don't have money for transport. So basically, I offered to work and I asked him if he can give me a job as a waiter.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I joined there and there I was. And as I was waiting, who was in the kitchen as I bring the empty glasses? Silo's room.
What Lina Mo?
You know, so, and I actually only worked for two months. But I, one thing that I can remember, Silo, you remember a month, conversation, Banira Chabani and Bruce Cassidy.
Yes. Yes.
And they used to, I think that was the best month ever.
That was the best experience, yes, ever.
You know.
Bruce Cassidy, Banira Chabani. Mm-hmm. Conversations, yeah. But you know, Silo, people need to understand this. My biggest break, the biggest break is I was actually built to open for Bob James and Jonathan Butler at Vodadome, at Voda World.
Hallelujah.
And Silo was the MC.
Yeah.
And on that night, I was billed, contract, Selilo Slota is billed to perform for R0, as this is for his promotion.
Yeah.
And that's when Silo introduced me. I said, I'm going to bring the house down.
Wow.
That was the first time that actually people wonder why I take off my jacket and shit. That was the first time I took off a jacket that was created by a brilliant creator and threw it on the ground. And when I finished my set, it was a standing ovation.
Wow.
The following day, I used to search for work. The following day, I could not keep the phone. I needed to get a manager there and there. Somebody to come and manage this match.
That's amazing.
Because I got a gig, a booking to now headline a festival. That was on that night. I was playing for zero rent. It was just for my promotion.
Wow. Yeah, that's such an incredible story. And Brasilo Makekanube, thank you for the call. Wow, that's actually quite incredible. And I mean, for zero. I'm sure there have been moments in your life where you almost felt discouraged. I know you've sent demos to many record labels and they would just give you feedback and say, well, not now, or we're not interested now, or you're not what we're looking for. How did you deal with that? Because, I mean, if you were discouraged then, we wouldn't have Silo today.
I kept the memories and I kept those experiences as something that will build me up. One of the most encouraging that I received was from Sony Music, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, major record labels, which later found me in their books, but via a BMG record, the records that they bought. And one of my friends was the big MD there, or African Division. Lindelani Mkize actually wrote a letter. He sent me a letter that says, thank you for being interested in Sony Music. Yeah. However, your music is not suitable for Sony. You know, I'm very honest. And I remember he came to promote Joyous in Cape Town at Baxter Theatre. Yeah. I went to confront him. I carried that letter. You know what I did? Yeah. I laminated it. It became an inspiration to me. Yes. So that it shouldn't die.
Yeah.
So I laminated it. I went to him. I said, you say my music is not suitable for Sony. He said,
yeah.
But I perform it and the people love it. Yeah. Is it supposed to be suitable for the people or for Sony?
What did he say?
No, but I mean, he said, don't worry about those things. I'm happy. He's a great man. He's created a big brands and so on. And many artists came through that, but I was not one of the fortunate to come through him, but it will happen one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
What legacy do you want to leave behind?
More than anything, I want to be seen as someone who just wanted to live life as normal as possible. I'm bringing my children up in a way that they can feel comfortable in this world. But musically, I have started leaving a legacy. This time, I told myself that now I'm going to start mentoring and developing other artists all around the country. They don't have to be from Limpopo or anywhere, because I have become that person who has found home everywhere I go. I just came back from Port Elizabeth, where I performed at the Boardwalk on last Saturday, and I found that people still demanding to hear me live there. So the legacy that I want to leave is that of building a nation. People be conscious of who we are, love our culture, but our culture has now become something that also embodies other people's cultures as well. Because we're talking about building a nation. Every time we talk about building a nation, and we don't look at us as the mishmash I spoke about in the beginning.
But when are you giving us a live show here in Gauteng?
I want to do a live show in Gauteng, but I'm going to be launching something very soon, which with a foundation as well. I'll be launching the One Country Foundation. And through that One Country Foundation, I'm now going to be going on tour, which I call One Country Tour. Which will be speaking the message of what contribution I want to make in South Africa, not as a guy who speaks Sepedi, but as a South African, as somebody who says we are a nation.
Speaking of one country.
One country, one life. One future, one
sunset life. Wow. Oh, how old is she? Well, if you're wondering who was singing along there.
How old are you?
Seven.
You sound amazing.
Huh? Thank you.
You sound amazing like your dad. Ah, that was beautiful. Dr. Selailo, I really appreciate you coming through to studio today. We celebrate you. We love you. We love your music. And thank you so much for making music that matters.
Thank you.
And we honor you.
Thank you so much for inviting me on this great platform. And yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm going on that one country mode. Yeah. And thank you, Learo. That's her name.
That's her name, Learo.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see you live. Thank you so much for coming through. It's 2 minutes before 11.